Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, September 28th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in the book of James today with James chapter 3. Now I'm going to warn you, this is a tough chapter, but one that we should probably come back to again and again as we get our bearings for what it means to follow Christ in word and deed. Taming the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boast. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find discord and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Before we move on, I just want to make you aware of several resources. If you're going through the book of James and you're thinking, I want to do more on this wonderful book, there is a podcast. If you put in the search engine, Jen Wilkin, James Podcast, a podcast by Jen Wilkin and a study by her will come up. There's a workbook that you can get. And also, if you just listen to the podcast, it would be well worth your while. I think there are 11 of them. And then on Right Now Media, which our church supports, so if you don't have a login for Right Now Media, contact Wayne Splawn and he can get you one. It's like a Netflix for Christian media. Anyway, on Right Now Media, there is a study by Francis Chan entitled James, and it has been a great study for our Grace Group Sunday School class, which is for young couples, and we have enjoyed going through that study together. The videos are about 7 to 10 minutes each and are very thought-provoking, so I hope you'll enjoy those resources if you get a chance. Now let's move over to the book of Psalms. Today we finish up Psalm 119, with verses 161 through 176. Seen and Sheen. Rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. I hate and detest falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I wait for your salvation, Lord, and I follow your commands. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you. Tav. May my cry come before you, Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. May my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your promise. May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous. May your hand be ready to help me, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, Lord, and your law gives me delight. Let me live that I may praise you, and may your law sustain me. I have strayed like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commands. As we turn to the Old Testament, we are starting a new book. Today we start Daniel. And as always, I want you to go over to the Bible Project videos if you can. I'll give you a little snippet of what they say. They begin by giving context that this story happens right after Babylon's first attack on Jerusalem. And Daniel and others from Jerusalem were taken into exile to Babylon. And Daniel and several of his friends were put in service of the king. And as you'll see, there is a sort of tension between Daniel and his friends and the people in Babylon. They do not want to live and eat like those in Babylon. But I don't want to spoil the story if you've never read Daniel before. The end of the Bible Project video always gets to like a point. And they say that the point of Daniel is that all generations can find a pattern and a promise. The pattern is that human beings become beast when they do not acknowledge God and recognize Him as true King of the world. They want to take on the power and the divinity of kings, and we know that there is only one true God. And then the promise. There is a promise throughout Daniel that one day God will confront the beast. And it is this hope that motivates our faithfulness. As we read Daniel and as Daniel was living in the midst of persecution and in exile, it was the hope that God would one day come and defeat his enemies that helped him to persevere. Daniel chapter 1. The title in my Bible says Daniel's Training in Babylon. In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel, the name Belteshazzar; to Hananiah, Shadrach; to Mishael, Meshach; and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard, whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance to what you see." So he agreed and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. To these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. At the end of the time set by the king to bring them into his service, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together and as we journey through the Scriptures together, trusting that as we listen and pray for God to give us wisdom, we will be transformed more into the likeness of our Savior Jesus. As we read in James chapter 3, the wisdom that comes from heaven is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And so, Lord, we pray that you would build up in us all of these qualities, that you would help us to not lead out with the natural self, but that the spiritual self, that your Holy Spirit would empower us to live in the way that Jesus has called us to live. We love your word. We thank you for Psalm 119 and the reminders that your word is a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. And we thank you, Lord, for Daniel, who was a testimony to your faithfulness, that he wanted to follow you even in the midst of a land that wasn't following you. And so we pray, Lord, that he would be an example for us and that we would do the same. We pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.